appears to be paying off, with new faces Matthew Renshaw and Peter Hanscom scoring half centuries on the opening day of the first test against Pakistan. Opener Renshaw cemented his place in the team with 71, while Hanscom was unbeaten on 64 at stumps, with Australia 3 for 288. Captain Steve Smith, again the star of the day, he's 110 not out. St George Illawarra is on the lookout for a new halfback after Drew Hutchison blew his knee at training. He'll be out for most of the 2017 season. Bernard Tomic's dad has been threatened with eviction from an Australian Open qualifying tournament in Melbourne. John Tomic yelled repeatedly at an umpire as his daughter Sarah lost her match in three sets. And an Argentine rugby player has been banned for 3 years after tackling a female referee during a match in Italy. Sydney weather today, rain with tops of 22 on the coast and 24 in the west. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Hi, it's Ron Duffersey. I hope it's been a winning year on the punt. Have a great Christmas and a happy new year.
From all of us here at Sky Sports Radio, have a Merry Christmas.
Gavelhouse.com's latest bloodstock auction catalogue is online now. Join us and bid from wherever you are, whether at home, out and about, or on the farm. Hurry, bidding closes this Monday at 7 p.m. Visit gavelhouse.com to start bidding.
Live racing is now available at tasracing.com.au. Every Tasmanian race day, all three codes, available on your desktop, tablet and mobile, absolutely free. Live racing at tasracing.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio and the Australian Turf Club have a massive Saturday planned
when racing returns to Royal Randwick.
The traditional December meeting is jam-packed full of racing highlights,
including the Villiers,
the Razor Sharp, and two huge English bonus races for 2 and 3 year olds.
Plus, thanks to Sedgenhoe, the day is supporting Surf Life Saving New South Wales.
This Saturday morning from 6:30, get the right Randwick Mail
here on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio is gearing up for the brightest summer season of racing and sports.
In the summertime, when the weather is high.
Starting Monday morning at 9,
BSB Extra has the right mix of summer sports and racing.
With the latest on cricket, A-League,
tennis,
NBA, golf and more.
Hear from players, coaches and experts.
Plus, racing news and tips. Immediately following the Big Sports Breakfast at 9 weekdays.
BSB Extra on Sky Sports Radio.
Gavelhouse.com's latest bloodstock auction catalogue is online now. Join us and bid from wherever you are, whether at home, out and about, or on the farm. Hurry, bidding closes this Monday at 7 p.m. Visit gavelhouse.com to start bidding.
They're off. Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island.
The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. It's 10:07 with Sean Cosgrove at tab.com.au. Jared Middleton. Morning, Jared. How are you?
I'm very well, Cosy. Why can I just not stop picturing you in that pool at the Gabba with your togs on, having a blast there?
I tell you what, you wouldn't want to be in there at the end of the day, I don't reckon, with the amount they'd be drinking. Well, leave me right out, mate.
I've heard a couple of people say exactly the same thing.
Ooh,
but I think by that stage you've had a few, then, you're just happy to be in the cool.
You probably wouldn't really worry, would you?
That's exactly right.
At that point in time, Trent Copeland, he may have been lurking around there. I don't know. We'll find out. He's with us now. Morning, Trent. How are you?
Morning, gents. Yeah, I just heard your intro there. The summertime when the weather is fine. Not so today in Sydney. Unfortunately, I'm standing at the SCG in the pelting down rain. So I'm glad that it's not like that up at the Gabba, because everyone in the pool looked like they had a great day yesterday, and so did the Aussies.
Yeah, I reckon. Hey, what about Steve Smith? How well is he going? How consistently?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was only sort of 2-3 weeks ago, or maybe even 4 weeks ago now, that we were all panicked about Australian cricket and the state of the team, and you know, what changes did we need to make, and you know, was the leadership in the right place, and everything was sort of up in the air after that Hobart demolition by South Africa. But the young guys that have come in and made a really good impact. Matty Renshaw yesterday, I thought it was outstanding. Withstanding some really good bowling from the Pakistanis, and putting on a really good partnership with Steve Smith, and then Pete Hanscom came in and really showed how accomplished a player he is in his own game and his game plan. People are sort of talking about how deep he is in the crease and he gets very little stride forward. But at the end of the day, it's about hitting the ball when it comes your way and not missing it. So, yeah, Steve Smith, Pete Hanscom, Matty Renshaw, the future of Australian cricket is in good hands, I think.
What about this stat I saw on foxsports.com.au the other day? Only four men have scored more runs in their first 47 tests than Steve Smith. Their names, Bradman, Gavaskar, Everton Weekes and Len Hutton. So we're talking no Tendulkar on that list, for instance.
Mm.
Yeah, I on Inside Cricket the other day, they were talking about, you know, do we need to start talking about Steve Smith in the ilk of Bradman and Ponting, you know, and that is amazing, and particularly for guys like myself who have grown up playing with Smithy. I think, it's hard for us to put that into perspective. And even David Warner, some of the numbers that he's put up. So, I think we're going to look back in 15, 20 years, no doubt, and Steve Smith is going to be on that list with the greats of the game.
And is it Matt Renshaw or Matt Hayden? Because G does set up like Matt Hayden, doesn't he?
Yeah, just a big imposing figure for someone so young, only 20 years of age. And, I've played against him a few times and I think everyone around the country knows how talented he is. But to see him get a bit of, bravado about his game yesterday, coming down to Yasir Shah, arguably one of the world's best bowlers, hitting him over the top and over the covers against the spin, that was, what everyone dreams of as a young kid, to be a dominant force. Playing in his home ground at the Gabba, and as you say, the mannerisms and stature of him, remind a lot of people of Matt Hayden, maybe a little bit of Matty Elliott as well. So I think, when you're starting to compare people to a young fella to those guys, he's got a pretty good career ahead of him, I think.
The other thing, Trent, when he took over your captain, and so that doesn't seem to have worried him. Any pressure, does it?
No, I think the one thing that Steve Smith has always done is, his game, and you see him fidgeting around, and when a ball swings on him or seams a little bit more, you see him motion with his hand like, oh, that swung a little bit, and he's his own character. He works out his own game, and the captaincy really has just allowed him to be at one with his little nuances and back his skill set, and even when it comes to his intuition for the game, changing fields and changing bowlers. And when it comes to dictating the play as a batsman, he's got the capability, as we've seen in one day cricket, to go through the gears. And, that's an asset in test cricket as well, because he can, get through the tough stages like the second new ball last night, and then he'll reap the rewards today if he gets set again. So I think, we've got a really dynamic batting order now. And, one thing that Australia hasn't seen yet is Nick Maddison. I was really worried that he might have to go in and face the second new baller like he did on debut against Kagiso Rabada last night. But thankfully the boys got through. Hopefully they can put on a partnership today. And Nick Maddison is someone that can really take the game away from Pakistan in this session today, and really demoralise them in terms of this series. If he gets going, he's a destructive batsman. And, that is why I think they will have gone with him at the number six spot.
Just on the pink ball and the day-night tests again, I mean, Mitchell Johnson's come out and been quite vocal about it. He's lashed out against the fact there's going to be a day-night test during the Ashes series next year. He says it's a, quote, different game. What are your thoughts, Trent?
Well, I certainly agree with his sentiment that the Adelaide Oval, anyone who's ever watched or played at Adelaide Oval over the last 100 years knows it is a batter's paradise.
Mm.
It is tough work for bowlers. It's always really hot, and there's not much sideways movement, and it maybe reverses and spins a little bit in the second innings, but you've got your work cut out for you for most of the game. That has completely changed. So in terms of the nuances of each ground staying the same, I totally agree with Mitch Johnson in that sentiment. But in terms of the Ashes, Cricket Australia have got their heart set on these pink ball games, and the success has been there in terms of the viewership and the people through the gate. And ultimately, one of Cricket Australia's biggest things is, getting people through the gate. And it's a revenue business, and unfortunately, that's a reality. As much as I'd love to see the Ashes stay untouched in terms of the most historic and traditional test series. So I agree, and I also can understand Cricket Australia's take on it.
talking with Jimmy Maher the other day, Trent, and he said, like, the Gabba, and when you look at it, if it's not a fully packed crowd, you've got all those coloured seats, which they have to make it look like there's people there. And he said it's often in the field, it's difficult sighting the ball against that as a backdrop. Do you ever find that?
Mate, it's an absolute nightmare. Hobart and the Gabba are awful to field behind the wicket in terms of slips, and particularly the gully.
Yeah.
The gully fielder, you know, it's tough at the best of times because you're normally getting balls that are either slashed at on the front foot or they're a cut shot type where the bat actually moves quite quickly. Slips, you get generally a forward defence or a push at the ball and the ball trajectory doesn't change too much. So at the Gabba, when it comes out of particularly the red seating in the members area, it's so hard to pick it up. And it's one of those things that, like the high balls at the Gabba, at the Wacker, where the boys, Mitch Stark, I remember, and Adam Voges on that day against South Africa, the ball went up at the Wacker and seemingly it was just an easy high ball catch, but the boys got no hands on it. One of the nuances about the ground there, when the ball goes up and there's no clouds in the sky at the Wacker, it's very hard depth perception-wise, same as at the Gabba with the seats. So, I guess the viewers maybe don't get that, but certainly all the players around the country know it.
Mm. And, mate, I was just scrolling through Twitter the other day and your finger came up. Now, for those a bit squeamish, you should... Yeah. For those who like looking at these sort of things, you should go and follow Trent on Twitter and have a look at what happened to his finger. But just take us through what exactly happened, what the damage was, and when you'll be back.
Yeah, so apologies for that. I did put a little disclaimer there at the top that it was a gruesome image. So at the time, it was Dougie Bollinger had just taken the second new ball. It was at Hobart. I was fielding at first whip. And for those that don't know, when a nick happens, occasionally the ball, with the steam, it catches and stays up. And the ball, when it goes through the air, doesn't take a normal trajectory. It actually wobbles a bit in the air. It wobbled a little bit down low to my right, and it hit me straight on the end of the finger. Unfortunately, I dropped it, which Dougie wasn't too happy about. But... I looked down straight away. My finger had come through the skin. It was a compound dislocation. And I thought it was my right index finger, which is the one I used to bowl with.
Mm.
And I thought immediately career over. I literally looked down, saw it, sprinted off the field. A few profanities coming out of my mouth. And went straight down the tunnel with the paramedics. Got on the green whistle to control the pain and went straight to the ER in an ambulance. I had surgery that night at Hobart Private Hospital, and then, all was sewn up, and I'm looking at, stitches out yesterday. I'm looking at, potentially bowling again already before Christmas, and then being able to, catch and bat might be the most difficult thing, but at this early stage, we're looking at great games just after Christmas, and then a Futures League game on the 23rd down in Melbourne, and then field games start again on the 1st of Feb. So
you got all feeling back in it?
Not completely, particularly around the wound where the incision was when they repaired the ligaments and the volar plate. So that's, a work in progress. I've got to sort of massage like any scar, just so that it doesn't build up scar tissue. But, the feeling at the end of it and the stability in the joint. Doug Ween, who's the Sydney resident hand guru at... every wicketkeeper in the world of cricket who's gone to see, saw me yesterday, took the stitches out, and he was amazed at the healing and everything. So, fingers crossed, literally.
you could have done it.
Healing well, and I should be good to go.
Well, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, you could have crossed your fingers easy. It looks like a boomerang.
it certainly wasn't pretty. So, I'm extremely fortunate that there was no break in the actual bones. Well, they call me puppet arm fingers at the best of times, but it was good that there was no fracture, and fingers crossed that it works out. Once I get back, I should be able to feel the ball. Maybe it even might have a little hook in the finger, so I can get some more out of the swing or the seam.
Hey, in the field, would you wear a glove initially, anything to protect it, or not? Once you're back, you just go out there and chance your luck.
Because I'm a bowler, one of the tough things, if you're a batsman, you can wear something, quite permanent and, you can really fix it on there to avoid any permanent damage.
But I mean, when you're fielding, would you wear something or not?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. So if I'm a batsman and I don't have to worry about bowling, I can wear something permanent and put it on there while I field.
Right.
But because I'm a bowler, you're not allowed anything on your fingers that touch the ball while you bowl. I've got to have something that I can slip on and off. So we're going to have some sort of, like a...
Some Michael Jackson like, sort of...
Yeah, it'll slip on and off, which will have some sort of support that goes over the joint just while I feel. And then I can slip it off, give it to the umpire with my hat in between overs while I bowl. So, yeah, it's going to be a work in progress, but we'll get around it. It's going to be painful for the next 12 months, no matter what I do. So I've just got to get used to it and push on.
All right, Trent. Mate, good to catch up, and good luck with the finger there. It's on the improvement. Yeah. It didn't look real good.
Yeah, it's all right.
You'll be right. All right, mate. See you soon.
Enjoy the test today.
Good on you, Trent. Trent Copeland joining us there. And that finger looked absolutely shocking.
Horrible. Mate, I can't look at breaks and those sort of things. Some people love looking at them, but I can't handle it. So I'm not good in hospitals and things like that. So it wasn't for me.
Adam Peacock joining us now, looking at the A-League for the weekend. Morning, Adam.
Morning, chaps. How are we?
Very well, mate.
Good, Adam.
Now, South Melbourne. Saw a little report. They're looking at a couple of nice signings coming up.
South Melbourne?
Yeah, in the A-League.
They're not in the A-League.
No, the hopefuls, to get there, yeah.
That I hadn't seen, sorry. Yeah, caught me by surprise with that one. Who are the names that they've...
They haven't named, but they're saying they're hoping to get into the A-League and they're trying to get a European marquee player and a star coach.
Yeah, that sounds understandable. I'm not sure the star coach thing. I would have thought they'd maybe look inside Australia first for that, but certainly players. I know they're a very ambitious lot, and they're doing things behind the scenes as well as they can to convince the powers that be that they deserve a spot in the A-League. I don't really have an opinion here, yay or nay, yet about all the teams like Tasmania. There's Sydney groups involved, Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide. They're coming from everywhere, but the information is not readily available totally yet about what all the bids are about, but South Melbourne are a very strong bid at the moment, you'd say, and those noises are only going to get louder out of that club as the FFA makes a decision. I think they'll set the criteria in February, and then the next 3 months will be a bit of horse trading going on, and then we'll find out if anyone who will get into the A-League.
Well, see, they must have a bit of money behind them, because they'd have to splash a bit to get, if they're talking two in the hope of getting in there, they'd have to be splashing a bit of cash, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at mega money to bring a marquee out who's probably in his 30s. You look at China at the moment, and they're taking players like, it looks like Carlos Tevez, the Argentinian striker. He's going to go there. Oscar out of Chelsea, the Brazilian midfielder. You're talking $50 million to get those guys to your place and then pay them probably $20 million a year. Jeez. Now, we obviously, quite obviously, and it would be stupid if we even contemplated competing on that level. It's just other things like lifestyle and playing in this league as opposed to playing in China, which will hopefully sway a couple of names. And there's enough out there, let's be honest, and China can only take so many. So, it's a big marketplace. Mm. Hopefully they get the right guy. And if they are to make a bit of noise and get into the A-League, well, what better way than getting a big name here?
We'll watch that one.
Yeah, and we got one of the big marquee matchups this weekend, Adam, on Fox Sports. Victory and City, the Melbourne Derby. Melbourne City, $2.15 favourites. Melbourne Victory, $3.10. The draw, $3.50. Look, all the money's been for Melbourne Victory. Of course, they've got to turn it around from that 4-1 defeat at Etihad. What are your thoughts, Adam?
That money's going to dry up when I say that Melbourne Victory, I'm tipping. So it's going to switch around and say, if you like Melbourne City, get on now while you can get a bit of a prize or the draw. But yeah, I do like Melbourne Victory here. Kevin Muscat made the point last week when we were analysing the 3-0 win over the Western Sydney Wanderers. It's the second time they've beaten Wanderers this year. And most of the post-game analysis was about the issues that Wanderers were having and the chances that they missed. And Kevin Muscat quite rightly said, geez, guys, it sounds like we've had two of the worst 3-0 victories in the history of the sport. So when you look at their performance on face value, it was very, very good. And I think they can definitely cause Melbourne City more than a few issues tomorrow night, because Melbourne City, they've been good, but they've only won one of their last four in the league, so they haven't quite put together a full 90-minute performance for a while, whereas Melbourne Victory look to be building nicely. So that's why I've favoured them, but whatever way, it should be like 25,000-26,000 people there at Amy Park. It's always a good one, this Christmas derby that they play days before we all sit and eat and drink and open presents. But this is a little gift come early.
And what's the mail on Tim Cahill? Perhaps may not start?
Yeah, he's been out of the starting lineup for the league games, the last three league games. I think he's only played 36 minutes in the league in the last three matches. He's come off the bench. He's got a problem with his knee. The bad tackle from Josh Belanto in the FFA Cup final has been causing him a few issues. He's no doubt desperate to play, but whether John Van Skip, the Melbourne City coach, risks him is another thing. But they've got capable replacements. I mean, their front three, their South American front three, Fornaroli, Colazzo and Brandan, that's as good as any in the league. And Timmy has to fit in and around all of that. But, it's a good problem to have if Timmy is fully fit. They train today in Melbourne City, so we might find out more later in the day as to the availability of Timmy.
All right. What's your pick, apart from Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory, what's your best matchup for the weekend? A couple of interesting ones, sort of cellar dwellers almost, Newcastle, Adelaide United.
Yeah, heading up to, what is it now, McDonald Jones Stadium, whatever the hell it's called now, up in Newcastle tonight. Newcastle, a week ago you would have thought, Adelaide is going to run all over this mob, but then they went over to Perth and came up with a surprise. I don't know what the price was, but it was the biggest upset as far as we were concerned of the season in Newcastle Jets getting that 3 points over in Perth. So, it should be a pretty good game tonight, actually, up in Newey. I'll probably favour the draw. It's hard to split the two. Adelaide are getting a few troops back, but they were poor last weekend. So, might go the draw. And the three games I've got on Saturday actually belt us. Wellington and Western Sydney. So Wanderers are better away from home at the moment. I'll probably favour them over there. And then Sydney FC travel over to play Perth Glory, who have got a few issues out of last week. So, three really good games on Saturday for the A-League.
Well, the draw tonight, Newcastle and Adelaide, $3.50 with tab.com.au. And Adam, just got to mention too, your beloved Newcastle United over there in the English Championship leading the way. Yeah. I know you'd appreciate this. So, looking like a bit of a yo-yo club, could be back in the Premier League next season.
Yo-yo club, listen to you. Liverpool looks like we're a chance of winning. Actually, Liverpool have a chance of winning this season, Jared. although history tells us that they'll find a way to stuff it up. So
Don't worry, I'm not hopeful.
But Newcastle, all that matters in the Championship is finishing first or second. Doesn't really matter if you win anything. You just want to get back in to the Premier League. It's looking okay at the moment, thanks to your former man, Rafa Benitez. But we'll hold our breath. There's about 873 games to go in the Championship this season. So,
Good on you. Good on you, Adam. Good to catch up with you, mate. All the best.
Have a good weekend, boys.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Peacock joining us there. Racing today at Scone, the big showcase meeting there. There's been rain, heavy rain, and more showers this morning. Rachel Murray's riding there today. She'll be able to give us a weather forecast as well. Morning, Rachel.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you? Are you wet? Have you got a brolly up, or has it eased a bit?
It's eased. It's gone away, so it's really nice now, actually.
Ah, good. Now, they're sort of suggesting a heavy eight this morning, and hopefully those showers have shot through and you've got a nice day ahead.
That'll be wonderful. The track looks in perfect order, though. It looks really good. I think it'll hold up for the day.
Alrighty, the first today, you're on one for Greg Bennett, Moulin Magic. You rode this the other day at Mudgee. Got back a little bit, but it got home nicely.
She did. I think she's a really nice horse. Probably the instructions the other day from that wide alley was to go back. Just being a first starter, try to get a nice, good look around. And she did. She hit the line really nice. So today we got a nice soft draw, and she'll have the run of the race, so it's all up to her now.
And you rode Kickstart My Heart the other day at Tamworth as well. Look, the winner, Dead Calm, was probably just a bit too good, but it rattled home nicely.
He did. He ran home really nicely, and like you said, the winner was probably a bit too good for him. But I think the little horse has trained on well, so I think he'll give a little fight today as long as he can handle the heavy track.
All right. Now, Exemption, you and Jane Clement are a lethal combination when you team up. You're in third the other day in the Mudgee Cup on this horse, and he's going well, old Exemption, isn't he?
He is a lovely horse, and I think Jane has him now, Costa used to have him, and we used to be a really good team as well then, and I really love the horse, so I'm really glad Jane has him, and the horse seems to be flying, and that Mudgee Cup run was fantastic, so I think today and really, really glad that the track's wet, and he loves the wet.
And you're on as well, Petrosian, for the Paul Perry stable. You won on it at Muswellbrook a couple of starts ago, went to town, and you're on again at Rose Hill, where Iso Rich won at a big price, but you weren't too far away, just 1.4.
I thought that was a sensational one. The way he won at Muswellbrook was really impressive, and he went really, really good at Rose Hill. Just the way the race was won, sort of really bunch filled, and he was getting home really strong late, but just really nowhere to go. But, really excited about him today.
Now, Rachel, Gunny Girl, you and her have been together that often. She'll probably send you a Christmas present, I reckon. You've ridden her in all the trials and all the races, and gee, she's just been consistent without winning yet. Or got one win under the deck the other day, but she's just been knocking on the door so close so often.
Yeah, I think she's a really honest little horse. I do like her. You probably have to get a crowbar to get me off her. She's just beautiful, and Alex does such a great job, and he owns her, trains her, broke her in, bred her even, I think, and it is everything about her. She's just a really nice little horse.
And you obviously love riding Lemming as well, which you're on in the highway there in race one at Randwick on Saturday.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. She doesn't really like the wet, so we'll just have to assess the track situation tomorrow. But she's probably the 3 weeks between runs, a little bit of a freshen up will really suit her, and she's a really nice horse. So.
Now, what's the pick of yours, Rachel?
Oh, do I have to choose one?
You got some nice rides.
Yeah, I think all the boys, all the exemptions, Trostian, Kickstart My Heart, I don't know, I think they'll go really well.
Well, you've chalked up the half century, 50 winners for the season. Fantastic.
How amazing is that? So good. I would have imagined that would ever be able to happen to me, but it has, and just proof if you keep believing and something will come true.
Yeah, well, good luck. Let's hope there's a few more on the board for you today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Good on you, Rachel. Rachel Murray, having a terrific season there. Absolutely brilliant. Hoss is with us too. I think he's got something for us. Where are you, Hoss?
Yeah, look, I just really want to run through, starting on Monday, just what we're doing over the summer period. And Tab Talk is one program that is going to be affected, but in a positive way, because starting on Monday to Friday, following the Big Sports Breakfast, when they finish at 9, we're starting BSB Extra, a combination of racing and sports. You'll get your racing lowdown, all the news and all the tips, and sports going to be added to that as well. At 10 o'clock, 7 days a week starting on Monday with Sean, Monday to Friday, but it's every morning at 10 o'clock. You'll get your major New South Wales preview. Monday, for example, at 10 o'clock, you'll get a preview for Armidale races on that day. So that's 7 days a week starting on Monday at 10 a.m., your New South Wales preview. And then all the other regulars, like I'm Going Greyhounds, On the Pace. Yeah, there's another regular called Chinwag with Cozzy on a Thursday. It's still going to be there at 10:30 on its day. So just for the summer period, we started on Monday, Sean, with BSB Extra between 9 and 10, and then at 10 o'clock, your New South Wales preview. Tab Talk's been great, but over the summer, BSB Extra is going to be even greater.
Oh, you should be a scriptwriter, Hoss.
Oh, come on. You can add a bit more enthusiasm than that.
It'll be sensational.
Exactly. I need some enthusiasm, Sean. I'm sitting down with your Perform and Grow on Monday, so you better watch out. I'm coming for you. You have a good weekend.
I won't be there. I'll be on holidays.
You'll be in the pool at the Gabba.
That's one spot I won't be. I'll give you the tip now. If I do, I'll be in a wetsuit.
And that would still be a very ugly look.